Happy Wednesday again. Can you believe it? Think about it. A week from now. Week from now. Week from now. Not to now. You're going to be on break. Thanksgiving break. And I can tell you this. This is my 25th year as chaplain. And I'm going to tell you this. This is the truth. You are going to make it. You got 1 week left. You're going to make it. So, hey, glad you're here today. And glad to have David Montague here today. David is the director of the Memphis Teaching Residence Program in Memphis, Tennessee. Has anybody heard about this program? A couple? Okay, good, good, good. Well, you're going to hear a lot more about it. Would you welcome David Montague today?
Thanks, Paul. All right, good morning. Before I get started, though, I have to do one thing very important. I'd like to say to you, fire up Dutch, right? Congratulations to the women's soccer team, I think advancing further in the tournament. Yep. So you got a big game. You got a big game Friday night against the captains of Christopher Newport University. So good luck there. Second thing I want to do is just say I'm incredibly honored to be here, and I'm very, very thankful for the relationship that Hope College has had with the city of Memphis, whether you know it or not. For 20 years or so, Hope has been taking students to Memphis either through service over self mission camps, or many, many Hope students have come to be a part of the work and education that we're doing at MTR. Most recently, Sierra Watson and Sabrina Morrison have come to be a part of education in Memphis. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. So this morning, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to help me. You're going to participate a little bit. I'm going to tell you a story about a conversation I had a couple of years ago. I'd like you to listen to that story, and then I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to share with your neighbor whether or not you agree with the statement that was made to me. And then I'll give my thoughts following. So here you go. It was a few years ago. I was at a Christian college. I was recruiting for MTR. I was speaking with the dean of the education department. It was not here at Hope. It was not at Calvin either. And so I was telling the dean, we are recruiting high potential leaders to come to Memphis to train how to be outstanding and effective teachers in the lowest income, lowest performing schools in Memphis. And I'm asking your help and support in recruiting students on your campus. To which they said back to me, David, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. I can't support you. And then he gave his rationale. He said, because when you teach students, but you do not directly connect that teaching to God and His Word, then you are empowering that student to be successful in life apart from God, and therefore you're moving them further away from God and closer to hell. And so I'm not going to be able to help you. All right, what I'd like for you to do is turn to the person next to you and tell them whether or not you agree or disagree with that comment and why, but you only get 30 seconds each. Ready, go. All right, 10 seconds. All right. Thank you for playing along. I don't remember exactly what I said in the moment, but I've had time. I've had a few years to think about it. If I had 5 minutes with him again, as I do with you now, I think I would say this. I would say, sir, I have to disagree with you for the following reasons. Number one, I think I would say, is because I think evangelism can be a two-step process. I believe the most important knowledge a child could have is the knowledge of God's love offered to him or her through the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Christian is called to go into the world and offer that love in word and deed. We are to proclaim the gospel both in word and deed. But one of the things I think we get mistaken is that we don't always have to do the word and the deed at the exact same time. Tomorrow is my second daughter's birthday, and my wife will make her a birthday cake, and what she'll do is she'll get all the ingredients and put it in a bowl and she'll mix it up. But what do then? We don't just get our knives and or forks and spoons out and we start eating the batter, right? What do? We put the batter in a pan and we stick it in the oven and we put it on 400 for about 45 minutes and we just let it bake. And then after it's baked for a while, we can enjoy a wonderful birthday cake, right? Well, I think this also can be an instructive analogy for how we proclaim the gospel in word and deed. We just sometimes have to let it bake. And I think Jesus often would do that. So a great example of that would be in John chapter 9. Jesus spits in the dirt and makes mud and puts on the guy's eye, and the blind man, he goes off and is healed, and Jesus just kind of goes away. And then there, in John 9, there's this turmoil, like the parents are amazed and the neighbors just can't believe it and what really happened. And then the Pharisees get involved and who did this and did that on the Sabbath day, and there's just this whole uproar, and eventually the blind man chastises the Pharisees and they kick him out of the synagogue. And then all the way at the very end of John chapter 9, Jesus much later reappears to the man and says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says, "Well, who is the Son of Man?" He says, "I'm the Son of Man." And it says the man said, "I believe," and he fell down and worshiped him. Now, Jesus also will at times do these wonderful acts of deeds and not say a word. And then at a later date, connect the dots and people worship him. And I think this idea of letting it bake, letting your deeds bake, your acts of love bake, is a very important strategy, particularly when you're working among the most vulnerable. So a man by the name of Howard Thurman was a great Christian leader in the 1940s and 50s. He was a mentor of Dr. King. And in his wonderful book called Jesus and the Disinherited, Howard Thurman says this: "A change has to take place in the psyche of the disinherited before the great claims of Jesus can be presented. Mere preaching is not enough. What are words, however sacred and powerful, in the presence of the grim facts of the daily struggle to survive? Any attempt to preach that disregards the struggle for survival is a compromise. It is only when people live in an environment in which they are not required to exert supreme effort into just keeping alive that they seem to be able to select ends besides those of mere physical survival." So what Howard Thurman is saying is, sometimes people just need a little margin in their room. If all they can think about is, am I going to get home from school today without getting beat up? It's very difficult for them to consider the great claims of Jesus. And what we need to do is offer people an education where they can then have employment and have jobs and have income and have margin in their life to where now they can actually worry about something other than what are they going to eat that night for dinner or how are they going to survive for another day. This is exactly why we need to go into schools. Secondly, I would say, because God uniquely cares for the vulnerable. And I would say to this dean, I would say, until and unless you provide this wonderful Christian education to all 120,000 students in Memphis, your idea is unfair and unjust. In Memphis, there's 120,000 students. 40,000 of them live in families that make less than $10,000 a year. 100,000 of the 120,000 live in families that live beneath the poverty line. And one thing that we know from Scripture is that God cares deeply about the poor. He cares deeply about justice, so much so that he dignifies the poor in Matthew 25 by saying that when you serve the poor, when you reach out to the vulnerable, when you visit the sick and the imprisoned and feed the hungry, that you're actually doing it to me, myself. And so we go to schools because that's where injustice is. That's a line from Dr. King. When they ask him, "Why are you in Birmingham?" he wrote a response called "The Letter from Birmingham Jail." And he says, "I'm in Birmingham because injustice is here." And Christians go to where the injustices are. And even in your president's new aspiration speech, right, is your new Christian identity, or maybe it's a new example of your Christian identity. He says, "The whole Hope community is encouraged in the lifelong pursuit of justice and peace for all, in a world so loved by God." So, you, Dean, go work on a comprehensive Christian education for all 120,000 students in Memphis, and let me know when you get there. And until you get there, you need Christian teachers going into the existing schools to offer God's love through education. Lastly, and finally, I'd say this, all throughout Scripture, there are these divine encounters at wells, right? So Abraham's servant and Jacob and Moses had these divine encounters at a well. Jesus had a divine encounter at a well, called the woman of the well, when he told her all that she had done. Why do so many of these divine encounters happen at wells? They happen at wells because people had to go there every single day. Why'd they have to go there? Because they had to have water to drink and bathe and water their crops and water their animals. And so I would say this, today, schools are the wells of today. Today, as in historical times where people had to go to the well every day, today everybody's got to go to school every day. It's called compulsory education. And the Christians are called to go where the people are. And the people, what are we, in Matthew 28, we're told to go to the nations, right? Go to the world. Where is the world? Where are the nations? Well, they're at Kingsbury High School, and they're at Melrose High School, and they're at Sherwood Elementary. That's where they have to go. And so Christians show up where the people are. And we show up where the people are because we go there to offer God's love. We go there to offer justice, and we go there to offer it to the whole world. And that's why, particularly, schools, public schools, are the places for Christians to be. If you'd like to know any more about this, we're meeting this afternoon or this evening at 6:30 in Van Zoren, 247, to talk more about the work of MTR. I'd love to have you there. And with that, you are dismissed, and fight on, Dutch.